Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome home. Does this place feel like home to you? Now, I've no doubt that some of you would answer, absolutely yes. This place is where I feel comfortable, where I can come and interact with people that I know and that I'm comfortable with. And perhaps some of you, I know many of you, spent formative years of your lives here in this church, in this house of worship, and that you have fond memories here of those childhood years growing up, perhaps having gone to the school and also coming to church here and growing up with this church as part of your lives. Treasured memories, just as you have treasured memories of your own individual childhood family homes. But perhaps others of you might answer that question, home? This place doesn't really feel very much like home to me. In fact, it's never really felt that way to me. In fact, I actually kind of feel like a stranger here. Sometimes I feel like I'm not very wanted here in this church. No, this place doesn't really feel like home to me at all. Although we might not always have the same feelings and feel the same way in relation to our church family as we did to our individual families of our childhoods growing up, God tells us in His Word that we here in His church, we really are a family. This really is our home because we are all His dearly loved sons and daughters, bought with the precious blood of His Son, Jesus, our Savior. We are all brothers and sisters through faith in Jesus. And that's what we focus on here in this reading from Hebrews chapter 2, where we see something totally remarkable, that the eternal God, creator of the universe, is our brother. Let's take some time to really think about that truth, to let it soak in and to marvel at how amazing this really is for us. If you look back in the book of Hebrews, just before this reading that we have from Hebrews chapter 2, we see that the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, whose name we don't know, but the writer spends almost the whole first chapter of Hebrews just emphasizing how majestic, how all-powerful Jesus is, how far superior He is than everything else in all creation, higher than the angels, who are those mighty spiritual warriors who do God's bidding. The writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus is the heir of all things, that He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, that Jesus is right now sustaining all things by His powerful word. And he points out that God the Father has commanded His holy angels to worship Jesus. And that God the Father says that Jesus' throne will last forever and ever. And even God the Father testifies that Jesus was also active in creating the whole universe before the beginning of time, together with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Think that this is the one who calls us His brothers and sisters. That is a truly mind-blowing reality. And the first verse of our reading before us today from Hebrews chapter 2 reminds us of what Jesus, our brother, was willing to do for us. Jesus, who is the creator of the whole universe, who is being worshiped by the angels, willingly humbled Himself to be born as a lowly human being, and thus to willingly subject Himself and humble Himself and put Himself on a lower plane of existence, even than those mighty angels. Jesus left the perfect glory and majesty that was His in heaven, together with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, to be born and live in this dumpster called earth, to search through all the filth and rubbish of this world, searching for you and for me. He is the Lord of the universe who chose to come and live among sinful people. And he didn't just stay for an extended weekend. No, he spent 33 full years living here on this earth with us. And he did this so that he could bring many sons to glory, as we see in verse 10 of our reading, which also explains that Jesus was made perfect through what he suffered. And it might seem like a strange way to phrase it, that Jesus was made perfect through what he suffered. But that Greek word that's translated made perfect really means to bring to a goal. We know that the goal of Jesus' whole life and his mission was the salvation of billions of sinful people living here on the earth. We know that God told us that the way to pay for the sins of those sinful people is by death. And so without his own suffering and death, Jesus would not have been our perfect Savior. But Jesus willingly took our sins upon himself. And he did what we couldn't do. He obeyed all of God's commands perfectly throughout his whole life. And he paid the penalty for all of our sins by his own death on the cross. The amazing thing is, although Jesus was the one who paid that price for our sins, we are the ones who get the benefit. We get the forgiveness of sins. We get his righteousness, his perfect life credited to our account in God's sight. We get the credit and the glory for what Jesus has done for us, as he has brought many sons and daughters to glory. And then in verse 11 of the reading, we see this bombshell. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Now think about this fact that many people actually are sometimes ashamed of their families, or at least of some members of their families. Think about yourself as a teenager. Often, if you were like a typical teenager, you were probably oftentimes ashamed or embarrassed of your parents because you thought that they weren't cool or hip or whatever. But as you grew older and grew out of your teenage years, you probably came to realize that was more of a problem within yourself than it was really a problem within your parents. But sometimes there really is something about a family member or a relative that we should be ashamed or embarrassed about. You can think of perhaps about someone in your own family or extended family. And whatever the reason is, you might be embarrassed or ashamed to admit that person is your relative. You might be concerned about what other people will think about you if they know that you are related to that person. Well, if there ever was a brother who had a right to be ashamed of his siblings, it's Jesus. Jesus ought to have disowned us. He ought to have hung his head in shame at even knowing us. But he did not disown us. And as he says, he is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters, because he has made us holy in God's sight by his death on the cross. He is as proud to call us his brothers and sisters as someone whose sibling has won a gold medal in the Olympics or who has been elected to high office. He points to us and he says, he is my brother. She is my sister. And the amazing thing is that he is also right here with us this morning. Not just there in that statue fixed up in the front of the church, but living and active right here among us. Even though we can't see him, he is here in our midst. Verse 12 of our reading tells us about this. It tells us, describes Jesus speaking to God the Father, saying, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly, which is the Greek word for church. I will sing your praises. Isn't that amazing? Jesus himself is here with us today in our assembly, in this church, joining together with us in our praises of God the Father, and joining through our reading of his word and proclaiming his word and the wonderful truths of his love to us. So it's no wonder that we believers in Jesus love to come to this place where he is here with us in worship, where he is here with us to shower us with his spiritual blessings. Makes me think about my grandmother, my Polish grandmother, my babcia. And if any of you have a grandmother like my grandmother, you know that when you go to grandma's house, you better go hungry, because you're not going to get out of that house without eating something, even if you're only staying for a short time. Well, our brother Jesus, although not like a doting Polish grandmother, but he treats us in a somewhat similar way, because whenever we enter his house, he insists on feeding us with his spiritual blessings. He knows precisely what our spiritual needs are, and he provides the spiritual nourishment that we need to meet those needs in our lives. Here in this house where many of us were probably baptized, each Sunday we are reminded of our baptism as we see the baptismal font. And as we hear those words that were spoken over us in our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Here in Jesus' house, we are assured that our sins are forgiven. As we hear the words of absolution spoken by the pastor after we confess our sins, here in Jesus' house, we are fed on the spiritual banquet of his holy word, which tells us all the details of the height and the depth of God's love for us and his forgiveness of all of our sins and of the eternal life that awaits us, promised, assured to us because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Here in Jesus' house, we also receive his own true body and blood in the Lord's Supper as tangible proof of his love for us, proof of his acceptance for us and of his full forgiveness for all of our sins. What wonderful spiritual food and spiritual blessings we receive here in Jesus' house. Now, if you were raised in a warm and loving family, the thought of coming home immediately probably floods your mind with joyful thoughts of your childhood. Perhaps you think about the smell of mom's cooking wafting through the house as you walk through the front door, or the comfort and familiarity of your living room or your bedroom, where you could just go to relax and take a load off and momentarily forget the cares and concerns of the world and of your everyday life. But also, we know that not everyone was raised in such an environment. For those who were not, the thought of their childhood home might perhaps instead bring feelings or thoughts of sadness, loneliness, or lovelessness. And so in the same way, some Christians have wonderful experiences and memories of God's house. They've found caring and supportive relationships with their brothers and sisters in Christ here in church. They've found warmth and welcome when they come to God's house. But others have not always. Some may have experienced unloving attitudes and actions directed towards them, even here in the church. Maybe to them, their congregation never really felt like home. Sometimes that lack of a family feeling in a church can simply be an extension of just the rugged isolationism and individualism of our contemporary American society, just carried over also into our church life. Think about how in society today, many people hardly even know their own next-door neighbors or the neighbors across the street. We hurry off to work in the morning and then hurry back home in the evening, go back into our little cocoon of comfort in our own homes. And sometimes we carry over that mentality also into our church life and our worship routine on Sunday mornings. We might be hesitant to break out of our little bubble of comfort, and the result ends up being that we fail to forge deep connections and relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. Well, this is where a welcome home Sunday emphasis, gives us opportunity to repent of our sins against our brothers and sisters in Christ. We beg forgiveness from Jesus and from each other for every unkind thought, every hurtful word, every self-serving action and attitude that we have had. Were we perhaps upset about and had disagreements about how to do this or that around church? Were we perhaps simply too selfish to consider how our words or our actions impacted others around us? Were we too busy thinking about ourselves or serving ourselves to think about how we can serve those around us? For all these ways that we have failed our brothers and sisters in Christ, failed to be the brothers and sisters in Christ that God has called us to be, we repent. We ask for His forgiveness, and we ask for forgiveness from each other. And just as our Lord assures us of His full forgiveness for our sins through Jesus, so we also look to show that full forgiveness and love to our fellow members here in our church family. So we look around and ask, who is hurting? Who needs help? How can I serve others? What can I do? That attitude of love and service toward our brothers and sisters creates that kind of feeling of home that we all long for. It's a place where we can find encouragement as we face an increasingly hostile world around us, hostile to the instructions and the will of God that He gives in His Word. Here in this church, we find a place where we can find hope when all else seems hopeless, where we can find help when we feel totally helpless. As we read in the first lesson today from Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. God did not design us to exist as rugged individuals going alone through this life of faith. We need one another. God designed us to be a family of believers through faith in Jesus. Sometimes people ask whether a person can be a Christian without going to church. And the answer is, of course, that technically, yes, you could be a Christian, a believer in Jesus, without ever going to church. And there are people who, for a variety of different reasons, are unable to be regularly active in a Christian congregation. But when we consider what happens here and who is here when we gather together, as God tells us in His Word, that our brother Jesus, our Savior, is here with us in our worship, and that our brothers and sisters through faith in Christ are here, we might respond to that question of, can I be a Christian without going to church? By asking another question, why would you want to be a Christian without going to church? It would be like saying that you're a member of a family, of your family, but then never actually having any contact or real relationship with the members of your family. For me, I think about one of the many blessings that I have is with the privilege of being able to serve as pastor. One of those greatest blessings is to be able to go and meet with the homebound members of our congregation. I treasure those memories of those who have already gone to heaven before us, whom I've been privileged to get to know and to serve with God's Word and with the Lord's Supper. And of course, although I have that privilege as part of my calling, all of us can share in that privilege as well, as many of the homebound members of our church that I know are more than happy to have more visitors to visit them at home. But that's a privilege that I have to be able to get to do regularly, to visit with them. And one of the things that I often hear from those homebound members of our church is just how much they miss being able to be here, to enjoy what you are experiencing right now, to enjoy sitting and hearing, listening to God's Word together with brothers and sisters in the faith, to enjoy lifting up your voice in song and in prayer with your brothers and sisters in faith to God. Sometimes they wish that they could just come back to this house for worship one more time. Just visited with our brother Larry Secor, who was on hospice care with terminal liver cancer and COPD. I was hoping that he could join us for worship this morning. Apparently he wasn't able to make it today. Perhaps he will in some future Sunday before God calls him to his eternal home in heaven. We know the wonderful truth that even if he's never able to come to this house again, through faith in our brother Jesus, our Savior, we will see him and all others who have gone before us in faith. We will see them again in heaven when we reach that perfect place of peace and joy whenever God chooses to call us out of this world. Let's cherish this blessing that we have as being members of God's family. All the blessings that we receive as we come here to this house of worship, joining together in this fellowship, in this spiritual family that we have. Let's treasure that and let's continue to make use and take advantage of this blessing that God has given to us. Amen.